Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Harvest Church at Home. I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and it's so great getting together with you week after week. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for being just such a blessing. Hey, last week I let you know that our plan is to reopen on Sunday, November 1st. It's coming right up, just one Sunday from now. So get ready. We're going to be opening up at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock on campus. And by the way, beginning Wednesday, October 28th at noon, you'll be able to reserve your seat online at goharvest.org. And I'll look forward to just seeing many of you on campus when we open on November 1st. So I just bless you. Of course, we'll continue to live stream our services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So we'll really be ministering in two areas, on campus and online. So if you're still watching online, we'll be ministering to you there. And if you're on campus, we'll minister to you there. But we'll continue to do that as we go forward. We're going to be ministering always in two areas, online and on campus. So God bless you. I want to also thank you for your generous giving week after week. Man, you've just been so generous in your giving. Last Sunday, you just had just a wonderful offering. So you've been so faithful and so generous. I just want to just thank you. Earlier this month, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about standing in the gap. That was actually the phrase that the Holy Spirit gave me, standing in the gap. And it really comes from the story of Ezekiel, when the Lord said to Ezekiel, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land, and I searched for someone to stand in the gap, but I didn't find anyone. Well, I want to just thank you, Harvest Church family, for being that person who will stand in the gap for Harvest Church. And you're doing it through your partnership, through your prayers, and through your faithfulness in giving. And I want you to just know that you're going to be remembered as one who stood in the gap and helped see Harvest Church through this pandemic to the next generation and a new day of ministry. So every night when I pray, I thank God for blessing Harvest Church, and I pray that the Lord will bless your life and make you a blessing. And you've been doing it over and over. I just thank you again for your faithfulness and giving. Now, the Word of God says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be provision or food in my house. And the Lord says, test me in this or prove me now in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. And I'll even rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And we've just been watching this happen over the last 7 months. God's been working on our behalf, and he's even rebuking the devourer on our behalf. So I want to thank you for bringing your offering. Bringing is what we do, but blessing is what God does. And I bless you today for your faithfulness in giving. Amen. Today, the title of my message is How to Keep Going When You Feel Like Giving Up. There's a title for you. You know, our new reality of living in a pandemic has made many people in our country feel weary and worn out. And there are days when you might even feel like giving up. I'm not saying that you're going to give up, but you certainly feel like giving up. But what does the Word of God have to say about this? Well, we're going to look in two places today. First of all, we're going to look at Galatians 6:9, just kind of as a foundational verse. But then we're also going to look in the book of Matthew, too, and see what Jesus did on a day when he most certainly felt like giving up. But Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't faint and if we don't give up. So here's what I want to say. When you feel like giving up, don't, because you're going to miss out on the harvest of blessing that God has for you. You're that close to a harvest of blessing. Don't give up, all right? Now, if you read your Bible, and I know that you do, there are so many stories of great men and women who at times grew weary while doing good, and they felt like giving up. And I'll just name just a few. For instance, Joseph. Remember Joseph with the coat of many colors? He was thrown in a pit by his own brothers. I mean, that wasn't right. And they sold him into slavery for 20 shekels of silver, and he ended up in prison. I'm sure he had days where he felt like giving up. Moses fled to the land of Midian after killing an Egyptian who was beating one of his Hebrew brothers. Well, he was a wanted man by the Pharaoh of Egypt, and I'll tell you what, he was running for his life. He was hiding out. And then Elijah had a meltdown after killing 450 false prophets of Baal. He was now on the hit list for the king's wife. Her name was Queen Jezebel, and she said, I want Elijah dead within 24 hours. Man, that was a bad day for him. Then you have Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah and rebuilding of the wall? He had the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem while facing overwhelming opposition. And then there's Esther, and some of you know Esther as Hadassah, her Hebrew name, but she was in distress after hearing of the impending doom of her people, the Jews. And then there was Job. If anyone had to suffer, it was Job. He suffered for many months in really 41 out of 42 chapters in the book of Job before God delivered him and blessed him. And then there was David, who was in distress after committing adultery with Bathsheba, and he should have never gotten to that spot, but he was in distress with what was going on in his life. Then you have Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because of the fountain of tears, the Bible says that he cried. Man, I'll tell you what, we can really identify. Then there's Daniel. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because he prayed three times daily and he refused to bow to the king. And then you have Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was despondent after her brother Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So you've got all of these people who have gone through great, great, you know, pressure and great weariness. But think of Jesus. Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, was so overcome by everything that he was going through that he prayed, and he actually sweat drops of blood as he prayed. And he said, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That was Jesus who went on the cross on a day that totally was filled with all kinds of care and stress. And then Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the worst day, he denied Christ three times. Talk about having a bad day. Then Paul was imprisoned and received 39 lashes on 5 different occasions, in addition to being shipwrecked and in distress and all of these kinds of things. Just think of the life of the Apostle Paul and how many days he felt weary and worn out. These are just some examples of those who grew weary, and they were trying to do good. So thank God they didn't give up, because they all received a harvest of blessing in their lives. And I want to just say to you today, if you won't give up, if you'll just hang in there and hold on to the Lord, God has a harvest of blessing waiting for you as well. Now, I think the story that best illustrates how to keep going when you feel like giving up is the story of Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. Now, you might not have ever thought of it in this context before, but just let me explain, all right? The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the most notable of all miracles that Jesus performed, because it affected so many people. You know, you had the water turning into wine, and Jesus did about a bunch of other miracles, but the feeding of the 5,000 is such a notable miracle because it affected so many people. You know, I've had the opportunity to be at the site in Israel where this miracle of multiplication took place. And standing in the region where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Many of you that are watching me today have been with us right there, and you know what I'm talking about. But of all of the miracles that Jesus did, there's about 37 recorded miracles that Jesus performed. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle found in all 4 Gospels. So it's really a notable miracle. So let's go to the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14, 13. And here's where we usually begin the story, all right? We'll start and we'll pick it up at verse 13. Read with me, if you would. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Now, here's what I want you to see. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Well, you got to ask yourself the question, what happened? When Jesus heard what happened, he wanted to just go away. What happened? Well, we can see what happened if we'll go to Matthew chapter 14, and if you'll read through verse 1 through 12, it tells you the story about how John the Baptist, who was so dear to Jesus, John the Baptist stood up to King Herod, and he said to King Herod, "King Herod, it isn't right that you want to commit adultery with my brother-in-law's wife. That isn't right." And he put him in prison and he wanted to kill him. And through a set of circumstances, they had a party and a dance, and the woman who was the person that they were talking about, she had a daughter that danced before the king. And after she was done dancing, the king was so pleased, he said, I'll give you anything that you want, even the kingdom, whatever you want, whatever wish you want, I'll grant it. And so she went and talked to her mother, And her mother said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And so this little girl says to King Herod, he said, "I want John the Baptist's head on a platter." And that's exactly what happened. Isn't that a gruesome story? They brought John the Baptist's head back into the party, but he was beheaded. And then the Bible says that Jesus' disciples came and they took his body and they buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. Now, John the Baptist we're talking about. So the disciples, when they heard that John had died, they went and told Jesus about it. And that's why, when we just read the scripture, that's why Jesus wanted to go away to a solitary place. This wasn't just some person that Jesus knew. This was John the Baptist. I mean, think of John the Baptist. This was John the Baptist who leapt in the mother of his womb, Elizabeth, when her cousin, the Virgin Mary, announced that she was giving birth to Jesus. Remember that story? And then this is John the Baptist who preached in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." This is John the Baptist who said of Jesus, "I'm not worthy to even unlatch his sandals." This is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus in the Jordan. This is John the Baptist who said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This is John the Baptist, Jesus' friend from birth, of whom Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Oh my goodness, now John the Baptist is gone. So Jesus, when he heard what had happened, watch the scripture now, he went privately to a solitary place because he was so grief-stricken and so shocked that he just wanted to be alone. But Jesus was so famous that when the crowds heard that he had left, they followed him on foot from the towns to where he went. So Jesus went on a boat to try to get to a solitary place, but the people on land followed him around the Sea of Galilee, and they wanted to go see where he was. So when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd coming towards him, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, here's what I want to say, and I want to just give you four takeaways today in this message, all right? Watch Jesus, and you'll be able to know what to do when you're feeling like giving up, because Jesus certainly felt like giving up after he heard that John the Baptist had passed away. He saw the crowd coming towards him, and instead of being able to be in a solitary place, now he was going right back and ministering to people. So the first point that I want you to see today is this: even when you've suffered a setback or a loss, have compassion on others and lift them up. That's what Jesus did. And here's what I want you to see. Jesus wanted to be alone, but he cared more about people than his personal feelings. Let me just say that again. Jesus really wanted to be alone, and he deserved to be alone, but he cared more about people than his personal feelings. And I'll tell you what, if you'll do the same, sometimes you get caught up in what's going on in your own life and the pain of what's going on in your own life that you kind of forget about everyone around you. One of the best things you can do is kind of get outside of yourself and minister to other people just like Jesus did. Now, what happened next? Let's look. Look at verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." So the disciples were saying, you know, we're out in the middle of a pasture right now. Send people into town so they can go over to Raley's or Safeway and buy some food. But Jesus replied to the disciples, he said, "You don't need to go away. You give them something." They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And then the disciples said, "Are you kidding?" He says, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So they said, "We've got about, Jesus, we've got about 5,000 people here, 5,000 men, and then the women and children. There are thousands of people here, and all we have is 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Today, they'd have probably said, "Jesus, we only have a can of chicken of the sea tuna and a package of saltines. That's all we got to finish, you know, to feed this whole crowd." So let me tell you what, if you've got a can of chicken of the sea tuna and some saltine crackers, but if you have Jesus, guess what? He's going to get the job done and multiply it, and you're going to have a miracle. A miracle is waiting in the wings, all right? So here's a second takeaway that I want you to see. Jesus will make the little that you have more than enough when you give it to him. It kind of goes like a song that says, little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hands. And when we give the little that we have to Jesus, he'll make it more than enough to meet the need that's before you. So Jesus said to his disciples, bring them here to me, he said. And he took the loaves and the fishes, and he directed the people to sit down in the grass in groups of 50 and 100. So they divide up all these thousands of people into groups of 50 and groups of 100. Then taking the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the peoples. Here's a third thing I want you to see today. Jesus didn't complain about what he didn't have. Instead, he gave thanks for what he did have. So, you know, Jesus could have said, you know, I've got all of these thousands of people to feed, and all I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What am I going to do? No, he took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he lifted them up to the Lord, and he gave thanks. And that's where the miracle of multiplication began to take place. So here's what I want you to see today. Stop complaining about what you don't have and be thankful for everything that you do have. And when you are thankful, you watch, good things are going to start happen in your life. Just live with an attitude of gratitude, especially in these days that we live in, where you can really get to the end of your rope. You can get so weary and worn out, and then you start talking bad and all of those things. No, have an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for what you have, and watch what God will do in your life. Now, notice what happens next. They all ate and they were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. So altogether, about 20,000 people ate. Bible scholars tell us that. So if you pictured the Golden One Center where the kings play, if you pictured that being full of people and Jesus feeding every one of them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you know a miracle took place, and there was 12 basketfuls of food left over. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you put what you have in God's hands. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice this. After one of the greatest losses in his life, one of the greatest setbacks, Jesus performed one of the greatest miracles of his life, the feeding of the 5,000. So here's the fourth thing and the fourth takeaway today. If you'll be a person of prayer like Jesus was, if you'll be a person of prayer and thanksgiving, Jesus will multiply your efforts and do miracles in your life. So when you feel like giving up, don't give up. You might be on the verge of God using you in a greater way than he's ever used you before. When you feel like giving up, don't give up. When you're feeling down and despondent, just kind of look out there. Find somebody that you can have compassion on and watch God multiply your efforts. So we're going to end where we began this morning. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll believe this and you'll receive it into your life. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word that speaks to our hearts so clearly today. God, in these times that are very wearing and wearying, Lord, I just pray right now that we would not give up. And Lord, I just pray right now that we would not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we're going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't faint and if we don't give up. So I just pray a special blessing over my brothers and sisters that are watching today. Lord, I just pray that you would take the weariness away, the tiredness away, Lord God. Let them be renewed and strengthened in you. Lord, help us to look more outward than inward so that we can have compassion on those who are hurting around us. And Lord, I thank you right now when we start to help other people, Lord, you're going to really help us. And Lord God, you're going to do miracles of multiplication and blessing in our life. And we just thank you for that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just take a moment here today. If you're watching and you say, Pastor Perry, this Jesus that you talk about, I want to know him and I want to follow him. I'm living alone right now. I'm walking alone. I don't want to walk alone anymore. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to follow him like all of those that we talked about today in Israel followed Jesus. They knew that he had the power. They knew that he could make the difference. I want to follow him the same way. Well, how do you receive Christ in your life? Well, it's just as simple as two words. First of all, you believe and then you receive. And just believing and receiving, or receiving and believing, those two things, that's all you need to do. In fact, John 1:12 says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So when you believe on Jesus and you receive him, you get to be part of the family of God. We get to be part of God's family. So I want to just pray with you right now, and I want to encourage you to believe on Jesus and to receive him into your heart. Just follow this prayer. Let it be from your heart and not just your head. And Jesus will give you a new life today. Amen. Pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for loving me, for dying on the cross for me, for rising again. Right now, Lord Jesus, I've heard your voice and I receive you into my life and I believe on you right now. Lord God, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, and with my mouth, I now confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Lord Jesus, I believe on you and I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And I pray in your holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer, I want to just congratulate you, because now you're part of the family of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. Your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, Jesus said, anyone who believes on me, I'm going to make them a brand new creation. So today you become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And your reservation is made in heaven. So I want you to tell somebody about what you did today, that you received Christ as your Savior. Let us know online if you can. And then here in a couple of weeks, if you'll come and see us at Harvest Church as well, and just introduce yourself and say hi, if you do that, that'd be great. Hallelujah. I want to leave you today with a blessing. And this is called a priestly blessing, and I just love giving it. And I want you to just receive it now from the Lord. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace in the name of Jesus. Thanks so much for watching Harvest Church at Home today. We'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And then the following Sunday, we're going to be able to gather on campus and worship the Lord together on Sunday, November 1st. So lots coming up, lots to look forward to. I pray that you have an extra blessed week. God bless you.